You are listening to The Feast of Fools. What you're hearing right now is the sound of a young Nigerian woman getting her clit cut off. Damn, that must hurt, honey. Ooh. Hi, this is Fausto Fornos, and you're listening to The Feast of Fools for Thursday, February the 17th. And I'm sitting here with the ever so kissable Mark Felian.
Hello, everybody.
Hi. What happened today in the news, Mark?
Well, today in the news, there's a big deal in Nigeria. Nigerian transvestite is finally out of jail.
What happened? She got out of jail?
Yeah, she's been in jail for 9 months. A tranny in jail.
They stuck her in jail for what?
Because she was dressing as a woman. She's been living as a woman for 7 years. Now she's 19.
Oh my God.
So since the age of 12, she's been dressing as a girl. And she's been making her living by selling aphrodisiacs to women.
Aphrodisiacs. Not afro.
Hair care products. It's to enhance like women's sexual being. So she went to an Islamic court. And had been in jail for 9 months.
They tried to give her a clitorectomy and found there was none to be taken.
They said, this is the biggest clit in the world. Oh, and there's balls here, too.
I'm going to pull out the big knife for her.
Yeah, so went to court. The judge told the 19-year-old Abu Bakar Hamza, who used his female identity to sell these aphrodisiacs to the women in his neighborhood, to desist from immoral behavior. Now, Mr. Hazma wore a beautiful pink caftan and matching cap, told the judge that he's a reformed man now. Now he's a bit of a...
I'm a reformed man myself.
I've reformed my ways too. But yeah, I guess he's a bit of a celebrity in his town.
Let me stop the USA for Africa. I guess the money didn't get to that part of Africa.
Yeah, so he's a big celebrity, and I think he's making his money now by... they're selling posters of him dressed in women's clothing. So
he's
I guess
like
he hasn't
only,
really reformed his ways.
But he's the only transvestite living in Africa? Or Nigeria?
I don't know. I didn't even know they wore clothes there. I thought they all ran around naked.
So you'd be he was wearing the different kind of seashells. Although he was wearing a pink thing though. We are posting a picture of him.
He's handsome. He's pretty. He could pass.
He passes right now for me. It's
you
like
know. Well, it's
I wouldn't
a black
have sex
and white photo.
But you know, I know Scott Free would probably have sex with him.
Yeah, does he like women?
Yeah. Trans? He's going to be on our show next week.
Okay.
On Monday we'll be interviewing a gay rocker and you know, he likes black. His boyfriend's black, so, you know.
Well, I guess this Mr. Hazma, he was leading a double life. He had a wife in his own village, and then he left that village.
He had, so this tranny was married to a chick.
Was married to a chick.
And he got
town and moved into, like, I guess the women's quarters in this town, where all the, it was reserved for married Muslim women. So he lived in that section of town, and he stayed with a family. Lived in the same room with the teenage daughters. None of them knew he was a man.
Because he didn't try to sleep with them.
Well, I guess
maybe he's one of those straight trannies, you know? Like the ones in Charles Bush's... Not George Bush. Charles Bush, the writer for Vampire Lesbians of Sodom. Who portrays trannies as heterosexual, so... Not like John
Waters.
There's
a lot of straight guys that like to dress up as women, but I mean, he lived as a woman.
We're actually going to be interviewing a Mary Kay Cosmetics salesperson who's a transvestite and heterosexual on our show next week. We have so many wonderful people we're going to be having very soon, and I'm not going to say the date, so you got to tune in every single day. Is Gold Pants Leslie Hall.
Ooh.
And Heather Marie.
Mama.
And the woman from the last Feast of Fools live show that we do here in Chicago. For those of you guys who are not in Chicago, we do a live version of the show, which sort of resembles more, it's scripted with music, and so it sort of resembles The Simpsons. And we did basically a filthy version of The Nutcracker, and Heather Marie Vernon made a candy version, sort of like a candy dress or something.
She was like the gingerbread man, but a tranny gingerbread man.
Yeah, and she has a daughter, and so her daughter's going to come over here, and her daughter's very boisterous, 7-year-old brat.
She's sassy.
She's sassy, and they're going to come over here, and they're going to give a little a gay child piano recital. So you're going to hear that horrible show, and that's coming next week for
you. It's going to be wonderful. It's not going to be horrible. Heather Marie is delightful.
Delightful. And on tomorrow's show, we have James from hotblogandrelish.com, and he's going to be talking about his favorite campy music. So that's going to be definitely a big good treat, while Mark is going to be serving drinks to young anorexic women in Lakeview in Chicago. So what I want to know is, like, where can we get a poster of this?
I don't know. I think we're going to, like, if anybody knows where to get a poster, let us know. I got to get one.
Yeah.
I think maybe if we contact the Nigerian consulate here in Chicago, they might be able to help us out.
We should actually call the Nigerian consulate and ask them, interview them on the phone about this.
We should. Let's call them right now.
I think they're sleeping.
They probably are sleeping.
Yeah, we do these shows pretty late at night. Mark and I just celebrated our Valentine's Day, which was a little late, but never tardy.
Mm.
And we went out to a French restaurant called La Creperie.
Yummy. We had crepes.
Which is a wonderful name, because I'm really like, I'm going to go eat at the Creperie.
Creperie.
And their food isn't anything but crepe. And Mark and I had basically the same thing, although you had the onion soup, right?
Yeah, I had onion soup.
Was it good?
We sound like old people talking about what we had for dinner. My friend's mother-in-law, her entire conversation is the restaurant they went to, and she will tell you everything that's on the menu.
Well, so speaking of old people.
This on the menu and this on the menu.
Madge Weinstein's been calling me on the phone at the most inappropriate times. Telling me about her road trip to Miami Beach, which I thought was actually very brave of her, being a 55-year-old single. Well, she's not single, but, you know, she was on her own traveling with her dog. Her vision's not good. She
took the dog?
She took the dog with her.
That old beast? Wow.
Yeah, two old beasts barking at each other, you know, because Chauncey's pretty...
Well, somebody's got a liquor snatch on the road.
Well, the thing is that Madge can find any peanut butter to put on her pussy to get Chauncey to eat her out. And, Madge was very, very cranky. She was supposed to be on the show tonight, and, of course, she had to go to bed. We were too late. Yeah. We had too much fun drinking wine. And right now, Mark made me a little drink that I'm
having. We're drunk. Not as drunk as Suki.
Wasn't that just a horrible car accident?
Also, I want to tell you something. I want to tell you something.
No, I want to tell you something.
I can't tell you. Turn it off. Turn off the machine.
You know what the real secret was? Is that I'm going to tell you guys all now, because there is doubt the authenticity of this secret. It's sort of like basically Suki's claiming, and I don't know if this is true or if this is the alcohol talking or not, that
the royal family ran him out of England.
Exactly, because he outed Prince Edward.
Yeah.
And that's sort of like outing Elton John or outing George Michael. It's sort of like common knowledge that everyone knows he's gay. Maybe at the time, it wasn't.
I mean, because he
is
old.
And they blacklisted him. But, you know, that's sort of tame.
Mm.
I would say that's tame news.
This probably goes back to, what, the 80s?
Do you think in the 80s they actually would have run somebody out of England?
Oh, would have been scandalous.
Would have been scandalous?
Oh, yeah.
Enough to, like,
an
ruin
English
someone's
person
life?
Being gay? Come on.
I know. Shocking news. Europeans are gay.
Wow.
I thought all Europeans were gay.
They are.
Well, today also in the news, and let me just play a little segue music here. Let's see if we can hear that.
Load up that iPod.
Good for nothing. Men are good for nothing. I never saw a good one yet. Good for nothing. Men are good for nothing. And if you love them, nothing's what you'll get.
And that's basically what gay people get when they vote for Republicans. Today, The Kyoto Global Warming Pact begins. No longer called global warming, it is now called the Kyoto Climate Change Pact. Because, let's face it, not everything's going to get colder or warmer.
I wanted it to get warmer.
I would love it if it got warmer. But the problem is...
palm trees in the yard, iguanas.
I got to remind everybody, the weather's not going to get better. So if you are in a place that's hot, it's going to get hotter. If you're in a place that's cold, it's going to get colder.
What?
If you're in California, it's going to get more lamer.
It's going to get freakier.
Flakier. Freakier and flakier. Okay. Global warming is a phenomenon. It's a really misnomer because it's actually, I would call it global extremism. And anybody who reads Wired News knows it's coming. It's going to come. It's just a matter of time. The way we guzzle gasoline and send out carbon dioxide into the air is just a crime. And basically, the Republicans that have taken over this country are making it sure that global warming happens fast and it happens furious.
Why do they want it to happen?
They don't care. They're not going to be around for it. A lot of these guys are senior citizens. They aren't even on planet Earth. They believe that Jesus is going to come before global warming comes. And I have to say...
Well, I heard from Jesus and he's late.
He's a little late.
He's not going to be here for a while.
Yeah, he's going to be tardy. Unlike Mark and I's Valentine's Day, which was wonderful. You know, I have to say, it's going to come. Who makes the changes? That's... where it counts.
So Kyoto's the people sign up, but the U.S. isn't in on it. Is that correct?
The U.S. signed it up on it when Bill Clinton was in power.
And then Bush said, "Forget about
Bush
it."
Bush said, "Flip the world."
He said, "I make all my money polluting the atmosphere." So
well, there's no go reason. Yourself. Basically, the Kyoto Treaty is saying if you want to pollute, you got to pay. If you want to send carbon dioxide onto the atmosphere, then you need to pay for that. And the money that is being generated by polluting the environment, I guess, is going to be used to develop cleaner technology.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very, very clear plan on how to prevent Armageddon. But basically,
I thought they wanted Armageddon.
Well, they, at the end of the war? Meaning Republicans, yeah. Or they, meaning Japanese, people who are never don't know anything about Christianity, who couldn't care less about George Bush, who never picked up a Bible, don't even know how to pronounce the word Bible.
Bieber.
Okay, basically, most of the world is not Christian. Most of the world is actually a Buddhist or Shinto or Muslim. You know, they worship a lot of the other diseases.
Don't forget our pagan friends.
And our pagan fairy friends, the ones who beat drums in the woods. And
I thought they just beat off in the woods.
So the point I'm trying to make here is though the global warming will come. It's not going to be the end of the world. It's just going to make things really difficult for those who did not plan for it. So you can think about George Bush as the story of the grasshopper and the ant. Mm. Whereas the ant meaning the countries that adhere to the Kyoto's philosophy, the Kyoto Treaty's philosophy, which is planning for new types of technology, new types of environmental friendly renewable resources, basically renewable electricity and energy. They're going to be the ants that are saving when the climate change occurs. Then the grasshoppers like George Bush are going to be left out in the cold. If the United States basically doesn't want to face a economical and ecological catastrophe, they need to make plans. And what's actually interesting is, like, today on NPR, the governor of Connecticut actually is saying that a lot of the states are, even though the federal government, meaning the Bush administration, is not taking plans to prepare for the inevitable, which is global climate change, the states are doing this. So Connecticut is putting the wheels in motion.
What's Connecticut doing?
I don't know. I was sort of sleeping when I was listening to this.
Trying to think what that little state's going to do.
Well, they're spending money. You know, interesting.
Are they going nuclear? Are they putting up
windmills? Well, that's the interesting thing is that nuclear technology from the 70s and 80s has changed. And now a lot of environmentalists are saying that nuclear energy is our only hope. But of course, There is the nuclear lobby. There is the downside, which is the
waste.
The farts. But nobody seems to point out is that traditional forms of electric production, coal and
oil
also produce contaminants into the atmosphere, which are probably more deadlier than the radioactive waste that nuclear...
Dams are devastating to the ecological environment.
Absolutely. So
hydroelectricity sucks.
There's a lot of talking that needs to be done. And
wind power kills birds.
George Bush is a complete idiot, and he is destroying any kind of debate or discourse that is happening in this.
So well, he's got all his money in oil.
You know, yeah, he don't care.
What's he going to do?
He's going to squeeze it for... You know, Jenna needs her cocktails and her cocaine, and so he's going to squeeze out every penny.
Is she on coke too?
I think so.
Good for her. Her and Suki. Can have a little party.
Yeah. The air is everywhere. Breathe deep while you sleep. You know, that's actually from the musical Hair, which was written in the 1960s.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, wonderful show.
It's a wonderful show, and also more interestingly, you know, I really would love if a theater company rewrote Hair only with the Iraq War and all our contemporary phenomena happening today. Wouldn't that be a great show to
see? That would be a great show. I'd go see that.
I'd go see it just to see the naked hippie in the very beginning. And I've seen some naked... Mark and I have gone to many radical fairy gatherings... And seen many ugly, naked hippies.
And there were some cute hippies, though, too.
There were some cute ones, too, but there was a lot of naked scary things.
Lots of pubic hair.
Lots of pubic hair.
They don't trim the hair on their head, and they don't trim down there, either.
Well, I don't trim down there below.
Sometimes I make you.
Mark actually takes a pair of scissors, and he cuts my genital hair. Because he thinks it's a...
It's unruly.
It's unruly. Now, this is what I want to hear about you guys listening to at home. Do you trim your pubic hair or do you let it grow? Please send us some email and we want to know, and we're going to talk about it next week with Leslie Hall. I want to know what's underneath those gold pants of hers.
Ooh, mama.
Thank you. Let's see if we can listen to a little Leslie Hall. She's so wonderful. She's going to be on our show next week, and I just have to play a little teaser for her. And let's see if I can find that here. Where is it? She's there. Here we go. Listen to the gold pants. She's the woman who wrote this song, and you can go to LeslieHall.com and watch her movies. They're just wonderful. And she's going to be on our show pretty soon. All the funky men saying, oh my lord. Thank you, mama, for making me gold pants. Ones I can dance and make romance. Beats like these could break through walls. I get my motivation from shopping in malls. I'm a BEA, beautiful girl. Bringing drama mama all over the world. If you're feeling lonely and your grandma don't know me, then bring her on down to my hip-hop show. The way I'm going with beats like these, you might need to get down on one knee. It's really, you know, I play this music for... my coworker at the Free Press, Lisa Neff, and she said, it's one of the ugliest songs she's ever heard.
Really? Oh, I love it.
I love it. Well, you know, one thing I have to do, remind people, though, even though Leslie Hall is a recording artist, she definitely has a strong visual element, and that is in her collection of sweaters and her bejeweled beauty. And I think actually the other song that she does, Ring-a-Ding-Ding, is actually a better song. Let's listen to that.
Ring-a-Ding-Ding, who's got that thing? your grandma, your grandpa. I wrote this one for you. Don't be no crazy cool. Here I'm coming now. Ho! I was born on the streets of a left eye winging, singing from my mama's tits. They all came around to see me dance, cause I knew I was a hot chick. I flow like a monkey and I sting like a bee. I can't handle my own sis. Can't you see me now? I am crazy. I flow like a monkey in a dance hall now. I swing and swing and can't get me down.
What?
I cannot be stopped. I'm like a tiger colt.
Okay, that's enough for Leslie Hall, who's going to be in our show very, very soon. I've been emailing with her, and she said she's going to do it. So we just need to basically agree on the time. So she might be as soon as tomorrow. You might miss it if you don't tune in tomorrow, you know. Or she might be at the very latest a week from today. So in the next,
we're gonna get our people in contact with her people, and then we're,
well, our we're people meaning it. Me contacting her people meaning her. We're not, you know, people have to realize
one degree
that
of separation.
This is me and my boyfriend. We're sitting in our living room in Chicago, Illinois, and this is not a professional production company. There's no Robin Quiefers sitting laughing at my jokes as Mark.
Aw,
who's so
I'm
sweet.
Laughing.
He's laughing. And, you know, there's no black lady shaking her booty for us like,
well,
Robin
we're,
does.
We're going to get some porn stars in here, though, and we're going to have them
actually,
like, strip for us, and we'll describe their naked bodies,
well,
too.
Well, because I'm good friends with Ron Ehrman, who runs Man's Country, which is one of the biggest...
Premier
bathhouses and male dance entertainment venues in the world, okay? They bring the biggest gay porn stars here to Chicago, and they make them take their clothes off.
They strip. They get all naked.
They get all the way down. And,
it's
and
the
Jason
full
and I
Monte.
Went to take pictures Monte. For the Chicago Free Press, the gay newspaper we work for. And I just have to say, it was, you know, the most exciting and bizarre show. And it's hosted by this sort of Rainsfield or Rumsfeld.
What?
You know, in Frankenstein, the...
Don't say that.
What's his name?
You're thinking of the Dracula guy.
The Dracula. Rumsfeld.
No, not
it?
Rumsfeld. Rainsfeld?
Rainfield?
I forget. The guy that eats bugs.
The guy who eats bugs.
I'll think of it.
It's hosted
Renfield.
By... Renfield. Mm-hmm. Renfield hosts this show, and he's like, now we have some wonderful strippers here for you tonight.
But he's a wonderful little dancer himself. He does
he's
some acrobatics and stuff. He's got
he does
good
handstands.
Form, handstands and stuff. His penis goes upside down when he does those handstands. But yeah, so it's kind of weird.
He's been in porn with our Nutcracker from our last show.
No way, they did
Chad
it.
Chad McLaughlin.
They're both little fellas, but
they're
because
both
they're little
fellas.
Their dicks are normal size, but they look big because they're small people.
Yeah, so basically, if you're a small person and you think your dick is small...
It'll look
big on camera. So get into pornography because...
And make lots of money.
Actually, there really isn't very much money to make. If you're illiterate and you have no other skills...
If you're working at McDonald's...
You know, working at McDonald's is sort of like doing pornography. It's about the same amount of money.
Let's talk about going to see those shows there, because a lot of people, I'm sure, that are listening have never
That's
been to
right.
a bathhouse. So it's kind of weird. You sit in this amphitheater, and it's a bunch of old guys. No, some young, too. And they're all, like, sitting around in, like, white
towels. Jason and I were wearing clothes.
I was there,
time.
Too. I was there,
yeah.
too.
And
so
we're
all in
there.
Clothes, and we're sitting there, and everybody else is, like, in towels.
In towels.
And I didn't see any sex actually going on or anything like that.
There wasn't any sex,
the
but
thing?
They were getting off. This is the kind
see
of
any,
show
like,
where...
masturbation or anything?
Well, they're not touching. They're all wanting to see the show that's happening.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so this basically...
And I think they get private audiences with some of the strippers.
There's that
later.
Black guy who looks white from...
Michael Jackson?
No. He is like a Michael Jackson on steroids. What is that guy's name? And he comes out. He's a bodybuilder. He's a cult.
It doesn't matter.
I want to get his name, but...
We'll continue with the story.
Anyways.
So he's hot.
This guy comes out, you know, he's that black guy who looks white, and, he's a mixed race, you know, and he comes out, and his dick is enormous because he's black, but his face he looks white, so all these racist gay guys are just like, oh, the best of both worlds, you know. Because they couldn't actually have a black man come out.
Oh, I'm sure someone could.
You know, no, guys, but they really, they bring, I mean, 99% of the content of that show is white. You know?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And it's like, and it's not because they're prejudiced, it's just they're in a business to make money, and then they bring what the audience want to see. And the audience wants to see
Abercrombie and Fitch.
Well, they want to see more Abercrombie and Fitch with on a little steroids. Bit more on steroids, with a little bit more oil. And he comes out and he took off his clothes and he stroked it and he came, and I was just like, as a performer, I don't think I could actually do that for an audience.
Masturbate?
Well, come. I mean,
you've done it on the webcam 100 times.
I've never actually done it. I did it once, actually, for a guy. And it was like, you know, masturbating for an audience, for a person on a webcam, feels like you're just like basically talking. It's like podcasting in a way.
You're masturbating right now.
Well, I'm not touching myself.
Stop. Oh, you got it in my eye.
But it's sort of like you're doing this action and you're assuming that someone's actually listening on the other end. And we do know that people watch a show because we see the count, and it's about the same size as the show. You know, we have about 100 people a day are watching this. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Right on. Hi, 100.
So, hi, you know, 50 to... It's about 70 or so. You know, it's
five.
High.
There's five of you out there.
Five, okay. By 100, I mean five. Nobody's watching. Actually, you know, if I get too drunk, I won't successfully post this, and then you know you won't be hearing this. But
I gotta tell you.
Tell me about the big booty, the Russian.
Okay,
booty.
So this is crazy. So I've looked at this Russian website, and it's run by Pravda, which was their big news organization back in the communist era. So they're online now.
But Pravda now got into sex.
They got into, but they're obsessed with butts. There was one article on there about some guy and his girlfriend. They went to the emergency room because she inserted a electric toothbrush up his ass, and they were like, basically said, "There's nothing we can do for you."
Electric toothbrush?
Yeah. Like as they were using it as
a vibrator.
It wasn't
Sonicare, was it?
No, it wasn't. I don't know what it was. But anyway, the hospital said they couldn't do anything, so they called like some emergency crew to come to the hospital. But by then they had left. I guess maybe he shat it out or something. I have no idea.
It popped out.
They popped it out. So that I was looking, I'm like, and then there was another article about butts, and I was like, what the hell is this? So basically, they're saying you can tell what a person's personality is like by their butt. Like you could read somebody's palm or the phrenology where they read your head. So
basically butt phrenology. Instead
butt
of your head,
yes.
They're looking at your ass and they're trying to determine your personality.
Right.
So
let me tell you a couple things.
Asses,
so next time you check out somebody's ass, so if you're checking out a dude's ass.
Or a chick's ass.
Well, yeah, well, I'll go through with different ones.
Okay.
So a man with a nice muscular butt is considered to be strong, persistent, and enduring in bed. So,
yeah, because a muscular ass implies that he's weak. So.
Well, he can thrust, so, you know,
he's
good. And now a girl with a cute little round bottom is sexually active, albeit material and unkind.
Ooh, she's a gold digger.
Yeah, and symmetrical wrinkles underneath the buttocks stand for reliable, steady, and calm individuals, whereas asymmetrical wrinkles expose selfish and greedy people.
Now, asymmetrical asses?
Asymmetrical wrinkles underneath the ass, you know, like...
So you're
like
greedy?
I don't think mine is asymmetrical. I think mine's symmetrical.
Well, I never noticed anybody's ass being anything symmetrical.
Let me take... No, you know how you have that little wrinkle, like, you know, the little divider between your ass and your leg?
Oh,
that's
okay,
what they're talking about.
They're looking at the wrinkle.
Yeah. They're looking
at that. So, like, it's your ass's lifeline.
Exactly. So now this is the weird thing, and I have no idea what this means. And if I ever see anybody with this, I'll probably run in the opposite direction. But it says those who have buttocks with so-called ear-like bulges on both sides. What is an ear-like bulge? I don't.
I guess it would.
Maybe that's that dimple on the side. Is that
like
what they're talking?
Dumbo.
That dimple. You know how you have that dimple in your butt? Is maybe if that's what that is.
It's a Dumbo butt.
But they're usually faithful people in love and marriage.
Yeah, of course they're going to be faithful because they can't get laid because they have freaky looking asses.
But men and women with such, like, so they're faithful, but men and women with such buttockses are hopelessly mediocre individuals. Could you imagine? Let me read your butt. Oh, I'm sorry. You're hopelessly mediocre.
Well, I have a pretty flat ass, don't I?
I wouldn't say yours is flat. No, yours, you have a nice little booty.
I have a Caucasian ass, though. I'm like the letter P.
No, you know, you have some. Well, you do squats, so of course you got a butt.
Now, you know, I was in much better shape last year. It's like when winter comes, all I want to do is drink and now do podcasts with you, you know, and basically not ever exercise at all. But when springtime comes and I start seeing people naked, then it's like, okay, I'll start exercising again. So what about a hairy ass?
Now, a hairy buttock speaks for a very kind and agreeable person. Although they also...
Those Greek muscle bottoms.
Although they also expose their genetic predisposition to illnesses of pelvic organs. And they should also bear in mind that people with hairy butts will give birth to psychologically unbalanced, short-tempered children. Oh, so you hairy-assed people out there.
Of course, it's a Russian website, because there are no hairy people in Russia.
There are.
Oh, come on. Russians are like, you know, Russians they're like Native hairy. Americans. They're just like, there's
oh,
no...
Oh, what are you talking about? They're hairy
no
beasts.
Polish.
You're just looking at the porn where they shave everybody from head to toe.
Yeah, but they don't...
Okay,
reader.
Okay, listeners. Right in. How many hairy Russians have you slept with? I've seen plenty of hairy
Russians.
I actually
never had the pleasure of being with a hairy Russian.
Okay.
Or any Russian whatsoever. But you've actually, you were had a romantic interest.
I've had many a romantic interest. Before.
Russia.
Before.
Before me.
So I'm also getting an email from some Russian guy who found me on gay.com that I think it's a scam.
Oh, it was one of those, you know, I have $10,000 for my father.
That's the Indian scam, but...
It's the same sort of thing. It's like, if you give me some money, I will transfer larger amounts of money to you.
Okay, so now if you're a redhead...
Oh, yeah, a red booty.
No, if you have red hair on your head and your ass hair is black,
ooh,
you're talented... And highly emotional. Now, if you've got gray bottom hair, is other gray
ooh,
butt
like
hair,
like George Bush,
yeah, you're gonna have premature impotence.
But oh, if so you have think red, George Bush is actually like angry and he wants to destroy the world.
I don't know. I've never seen his ass. Have you?
No, but I'm just guessing that his ass is basically look like. It's just like it's from his shoulders to his legs. It's flat, and there's hair. There's a little bit of Condoleezza Rice's lipstick around there.
Now, if you have red hair, mm-hmm, it means you're depraved. And then it goes into a bunch of stuff about birthmarks and
you're
you
depraved.
Know.
Actually, like there was a guy that I dated who had red hair in his ass.
Really? There's this guy I see at the gym. He's got brown hair and his pubic hair is like orange and red.
He's a friend of Madge Weinstein's, actually.
Who?
And, well, I'm not going to
oh,
say
the
his name
ass
on the
guy?
Air. Yeah.
Oh, I think I know who you're talking about. I've seen him.
He runs a lot of marathons. He's actually a very, very nice person, but I don't know if he's
depraved. Well, did he act depraved?
No, he actually was like very...
Was he a bottom or a top?
I think he could have been a bottom. We never got that far.
Okay.
You know, we had some kinky shower sex, but that's about as far as it goes. Which means that we masturbate each other in the shower. Which is my favorite one. I would say it's one of my most favorite places to have sex, other than, you know, in a bed with a candle. I'm sort of like a lesbian. I like lots of touching and kissing and candles and water.
Spanking.
No, I'm not really into that.
Nipple
much.
Torture.
No torture.
You
okay.
Just wait.
So let's go to our next news item, and let's hear a little segue music there.
When I was 17, I drank some very good beer. I drank some very good beer. I purchased with a fake ID. My name was Brian McKee. I stayed up listening to Queen. When I was 17.
Aw, that's Homer. You know, this Sunday is going to be the...
Oh, yeah.
the gay episode.
Somebody's coming out on The Simpsons.
And our we're going to add a little... We're going to be interviewing Scott Free on Friday, so that'll be posted on Sunday evening, Sunday night. So we'll definitely add a little post-Simpson tag to that interview because it's just going to be too juicy. So Monday's show, basically, I'm giving it away to you. It's going to be Scott Free and The Simpsons, which, you know, how can you go wrong?
You know, how can you?
You know, a big... You know, steroid using gay.
Come on.
Musician, we don't know, but I'm going to definitely ask Godfrey.
It's horse piss.
Do you use steroids or not? We need to know this information. Because this man basically weighed 170 pounds, and now he's 250, solid muscle.
You could climb him. You could climb him.
You can climb Scott Free. The man is huge.
You could swing from his nipples.
And his boyfriend?
Bigger.
Is bigger. So they've been eating like something.
Maybe they're just swallowing each other's cum. It's
cycle.
A zero protein loss existence.
I'll be interviewing Scott Free and listening to songs from his new album. They Call Me Mr. Free. And that's going to be coming on Monday. And Scott Free's always
fun. Does he have a
website?
What's his website?
It's Scott Free at... ScottFree.net, I think.
ScottFree.net.
Yeah, well, we're going to post it so you can read about it and be like, what the hell is Fausto interviewing this guy?
Nobody
loves me. Yeah, he's the guy who writes a song, Nobody's Ever Going to Fall in Love with Me.
And Fucking Your Corpse. Yeah, his tribute to Jeffrey Dahmer. And that's a wonderful song.
He's real sick. He's real twisted. And you know, black people love him.
And he loves black
people. And he loves them back. And he's a really, really great person. He produces a gay and lesbian, you know, basically, in other words, he produces a music festival that has lesbians in it, and it doesn't suck.
Wow. I've seen it, and it didn't suck.
Unlike the Michigan Women's Music Folk Festival, which I rather get my nails pulled off my head.
Well, you wouldn't even be allowed to go.
Well, now this is a story that Mark
let's not even get into this right now.
Well, I'll just tell it really
quickly.
Let's
save this for another time.
This is another show, but...
Because that's an hour.
That's a whole hour. It's Mark and I were trapped in the middle of the mountains of Tennessee. I was hosting a rock concert up there, and with 100... female to male transsexuals, I'm not kidding you, and they're all
mean
bitches. They were meaner than Madge Weinstein, and Madge is pretty bad. So what about this queer beer?
Oh, the queer beer. So finally gays were allowed to drink. We're gonna have our own actual
I've been doing that all evening long, but
we're gonna have our own beer called queer beer. So 32-year-old Michael Hatmaker from Sweden came up with this idea for queer beer. According to Michael, the idea appeared rather absurd to him at first. Nonetheless, after discussing perspectives, his friends agreed to get involved in the business. One of his business partners is gay. In fact, promotion would be not possible without this gay person's help. So the three entrepreneurs claim that their main intention is to treat the topic of homosexual lifestyle with a bit of humor. They hope that the beverage will help gays and lesbians to feel more relaxed and forget about concealing their sexual preferences.
Just forget about it.
Beer is always done.
Yeah, this beer has a special ingredient. It's called alcohol. It lowers the inhibitions. And it makes people more comfortable with who they are.
Yeah.
Increases self-esteem.
So the local gay organization in Sweden called the Pink Cross has approved the new kind of beer. So they're all for it. So
thank you, Swedish gays.
So we've had near beer, which has had no alcohol. Now we have queer beer. So I hope it has lots of alcohol.
It has three. It's like
and I hope it's pink.
That would be really nice,
That'd
actually.
That'd be cute if we had a pink little beer.
A pink beer? I would drink that.
Yeah, I think they would do
if they threw a little,
maybe some beet.
Grenadine syrup in it? Yeah. That would be really nice.
Yeah.
And it has three times the alcohol of normal beer.
And zero carbs.
Yeah, no carbs. You can't have any carbs with that.
Can't have any carbs. No, none of that.
Well, thanks so much, Mark, for doing the show with me tonight.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure being... I wish I could be here every night.
I wish you too. Actually, the audience actually likes the show better when you're here.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Even with Suki?
Well, yeah. Nobody likes Suki.
I have to tell you, though, I love Suki. He's such a charming person. He had a rough day the day before.
He had a rough day.
One of his good friends passed away, and he had a memorial for it, and he just was feeling glum and just decided to, you know, drink his way out of it.
We'll still get you one over on Suki De La Croix yet.
You will love him as
you
we
will
do.
You'll love him. So we're going to, tomorrow's show, we're going to have James from Hot Blog and Relish.
Ooh, what's that?
It's a guy who does, another gay guy in Chicago who runs a very popular, I'm basically interviewing all the gay people here in Chicago that have journals that other people read a lot.
Okay.
So I'm interviewing James from Hot Blog and Relish, and also Jason P. Freeman. He's coming in next week.
He pees freely.
Yeah, Jason P. Freely. Free man. He's a bartender, and he is a columnist for Boy Magazine.
Oh, he is?
And, I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. And he's going to come on our show and tell us why circuit parties don't suck, which I think they suck. So I'm definitely going to tell
him. He's the alternative voice, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, because he's going to Fireball this weekend?
Yeah, actually, Fireball, the cop killing, not the king of pop we're talking about, the king of poppers, who is in prison now.
Michael L. Jackson
in Chicago, for those of you who have not been listening to our podcast, is the founder of the Hearts Foundation, one of the largest.
Was he the founder?
Yeah, he's one of the founders.
Okay, yeah.
It's a group of gay guys that said, hey, we're getting high, we're having a lot of sex, we're doing a lot of drugs. Why don't we raise some money for AIDS while we're at it?
Woohoo!
It's sort of like putting vitamin C into your Cosmopolitan.
Why not?
You know? If you're going to get fucked up, might as well raise some money for a healthcare organization to take care
of
you.
For our friends that are too sick to come.
Exactly. And so, Michael L. Jackson, I guess in a meth rage, we don't really know. Because the trial hasn't started yet, but we'll definitely keep you guys covered on this, as well as the Michael Jackson, the King of Pop trial. He ran over a cab driver
He got into a fight with a cab driver and then ran him over.
And he killed him. And now they try to, you know.
He did surrender, though, the next day. He surrendered to the police.
Yeah, it was sort of like a Simpsons episode where he drove the cab, like, two blocks, crashed in some cars, and then got out and ran.
Yeah. Well, I feel bad for the man's family. Somebody did die here, so.
Yeah, someone did die. You're talking about the deceased.
Yeah, the deceased.
Not Michael L. Jackson's family.
No.
His family's finally put him in prison. Now you can't do any more damage. See, the thing is, I always feel it's like behind every crime, there's a bigger story. And we'll definitely find out what the story is going to be.
When he goes to trial. Something's happening at the end of the month, the 24th or something. Something's happening.
There's the deposition.
Is that what's going on? Yeah.
Oh, it's just, there's so much to talk about. Thank you so much for tuning in to the feastoffools.net for Thursday. And we're leaving you here with a little bit of a Portuguese version of Hit the Road Jack in honor of our deceased friend. Who won a Grammy.
Ray Charles.
Interesting enough, my cousin's husband was the trombonist for Ray Charles' band. Armin Marmolejo. And
I met him.
Yeah, you met him.
He was cute.
He was really hot, yeah.
Yeah, he was hot. And his son wanted to see us kiss, and I told him if he paid us $2, that we'd do it. And so he went and got his $2, and then I wouldn't do it, and he was pissed.
Well, this is in honor of Ray Charles, and it comes through us, to our good friend, Carlos Vatos. Just listen to this. Thanks so much for tuning
in. Bye, everybody.
Bye. Oh, baby, no singer.
gata me chama, não diz nada. Vou botar os pés no chão e seguir na estrada. Não penso que o destino é assim tão cruel. Na vida cada um representa seu papel. Não perca seu tempo nessa confusão. Eu vou fazer as minhas malas e seguir com decisão. Já tô com o pé na estrada e não vou mais voltar. Não vou, não vou, não vou. Já tô com o pé na estrada, não vou mais voltar. Já tô com o pé na estrada e não vou mais voltar.